Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life,
good evening and welcome to Atlanta Life Radio Presents, There is Life After Layoff. Join the conversation with our show host, Allie, and her co-host, Doc, as Allie shares her journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the hosts or Web Talk Radio agents shall be held liable for the content of programs, including advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional and who have been given the opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of this Web Talk Radio program. Now, as we say each and every week, grab your journal or a piece of paper and a pen so that you can take down notes as you join in this story this evening. And now, as we ask you to do each and every week, please join us in our virtual applause as we welcome our lovely show host to the air. Allie, take it away.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of There is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and along with my regular co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward Porter, the founder of Elite Psychological Services and who is a licensed professional counselor specializing in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders. It is always, always our pleasure to be your guides as I take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off, and as Doc affirms normalcy of feelings while offering you practical solutions. Please join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And please continue to follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And you can always find out more about Doc and her services by visiting her website at www.elise, which is spelled E-L-I-S-E, psychologicalservices.com. And you can always contact us directly if you wish to do that via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please continue to follow us on Twitter. You'll find me tweeting at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. And I'm also on Instagram. You will find me on Instagram at #AllieWard45. And with that said, on behalf of Doc, Rev T, Mel D, and myself, and the entire There is Life After Layoff radio team, we sincerely say thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to not only the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. Now, tonight, we have a very insightful and powerful show in store for you. And in doing that and presenting this to you, we will be joined by a very special guest this evening as we introduce a new segment to There is Life After Layoff titled Meet the Filmmaker. So in just a moment, our executive producer, Mel D, will actually do the honors of introducing our special guest filmmaker, Altuan Nelson. But first, I want to I want to take a moment to welcome back on air my guest co-host for this evening, Reverend Lutina Morrell, Rev T. And Rev T has been helping us to keep it real and hold it down on There is Life After Layoff Radio as Doc has taken some time off to complete her book. So Rev T, she actually holds a master's degree in social work and is a licensed therapist pursuing her doctoral degree. And she is the founder and owner of Clinical Intervention Specialists, LLC, and also of Morrell Social Services Network Incorporated. So, Rev T, thank you for joining me again this evening. And so how are you?
Oh, thank you, Allie. Thank you. And I'm great. My voice may be a little cracky. I think the asthma is trying to flare up, but we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it.
We're going to rebuke that.
In the name of Jesus, amen. But in any case, I'm glad to be here with you and Mel D and our very special guest this evening. And I'm excited about our audience and our listeners getting to talk to our guest about his recent project, his most recent project, which is going to be definitely powerful. So I'm so ready to get started and excited for this evening's show.
Thank you once again, Rev T. And I want to also take a moment to say hello to our executive producer, Mel D, because she is the reason why we're here talking with our filmmaker this evening. So I want to say a quick hello to you, Mel D. How are you this evening?
Oh, I am rested and alive and doing well. You know, we were off last week, and I took advantage. I took some time to go back up to New York and visit with family. So I am rearing to go, ready to get started. But thank you again.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure to have both of you ladies joining me. So, but before we get started, I just want to make a couple of brief announcements. If you happen to miss a particular show, you can always catch up on what you've missed through the Atlanta Life Radio website by visiting it at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And it's so easy to catch up on all of our past recorded shows because we have that automatic player box on the programming page. All you have to do is click on the show you want to listen to, and there you have it. It will start playing for you automatically. And what's also beautiful is that we're also on iTunes, which is very convenient because you can take it with you on the go. You can work out. Listen to our shows while you're working out and in the car, wherever you're going. You know, we're all very busy, so that's very convenient. So all you have to do is search for Atlanta Life Radio under podcast, and there you will find us. All of our past recorded shows are available. And after tonight's live show airs, you will be able to upload it within about 30 minutes or less after it airs. So, again, we thank you for continuing to tune in and also for continuing to catch up on what you've missed. So, as we continue to move on, I want to give our listeners a quick reminder. If you want to join the conversation this evening or if you want to address a question to our special guest, you can always reach us by calling 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. And we will begin taking your calls after the break, which is around the 7:30 hour, so please hang on for that. And so we are ready to get started. And as I mentioned at the top of the show tonight, we are premiering a new segment here on There Is Life After Layoff Radio, and it's titled Meet the Filmmaker. And this segment serves the purpose of introducing, inspiring, and uplifting filmmakers and their work to the community. And so tonight we are definitely honored to be having a conversation with Altuan Nelson. He is the writer, director, and producer of the recently released documentary, The Alto Adjustment. And so Mr. Nelson actually connected with our executive producer, Mel D, who in turn then introduced him to the rest of the team. And so I'm actually going to turn it over to you, Mel D, and have you share with our listeners how we made that connection and then welcome our guests to the show.
Well, thank you. Look me up. Getting your name, Allie. I'm telling you, I'm just so excited this evening. But, you know, everybody knows the term 7 degrees of separation. Mm-hmm, and, you know, here at Atlanta Life Media and through the radio show, There's Life After Layoff, we always talk about how we're weaving this master quilt. And the quilt is a series of different stories that kind of depict life, real life. Real people, real life, real stories. And so if you think of this theme, 7 degrees of separation, we kind of talk about our listeners. We are blessed with listeners, and we just never know who's listening to our show. And it just so happened that this young gentleman reached out and wanted to learn more about our company and what we're doing, and that is our guest this evening, Mr. Altuan Nelson. And as we began to get to know one another, and he talked about his latest project, a documentary film called The Alto Adjustment, which we'll hear about this evening, he was willing to share clips of the documentary with us. Because we love stories of people and pursuing their life purpose and dreams, and Altuan being an independent filmmaker, when looking at the film, I saw someone in the film that I recognized.
Wow.
And it just so happened that the mother of the young man who's telling his story is someone who was in my past during a tenure prior to me getting into media during my government service. So it's just so amazing how there's a reason why God pointed Valton into our direction. And we're supposed to connect. And as we talk about, we always want to help to promote, and young filmmakers, independent artists, when people are doing the right thing and doing good, we want to promote that, especially young African-American males. We always hear about the ones going astray, and we're always hearing the bad news. Let's uplift the good news.
Right.
And so that's what tonight is all about. We're going to uplift good news, a good young man doing a good thing, and we just want to uplift him. So I am not going to tell his story. I'm just sharing how excited I am that our paths have crossed. God is quilting him into our master quilt.
Yes.
And so without further ado, I'm going to welcome to the air Mr. Alton Nelson. Mr. Nelson, and I want everybody listening to give virtual applause. Mr.
Yay.
Nelson, you're now on air with us. Welcome.
Hello, hello. How you doing? Glad to be here.
Thank you for joining us. We are so excited that you're here with us this evening. And, you know, before we get started, as customary, you know, we want you to share with our listeners a little bit about your story. Who is Alton Nelson? And
okay.
So can you share a little bit about who you are with our listeners?
Absolutely. Alton Nelson, first and foremost, is the father of two, person that loves to inspire youth as well as parents and, you know, a person that loves to pull the best out of people or what have you. I was raised in a neighborhood called Oakland City. It's a lower socioeconomic neighborhood in Atlanta, Georgia, or what have you. Single-parent household. But I kind of got the best of both worlds because we were raised in a lower class, but my dad actually lived in the upper middle class. And
would
visit him every other weekend. Yes. So I got a chance to see the difference between, you know, both worlds or what have you. And
okay.
I always been kind of like nosy, so I had an obsession. Very nosy. I have an obsession with people. Like, I like to study people.
Okay.
So, you know, I kind of saw the differences between both of the neighborhoods and how the people would interact with one another. And I kind of wanted better for the lower class side or what have you. You know, because those were a lot of the people. I was kind of like raised by kind of like everybody in the community, from the drug dealers to prostitutes, crack addicts, the working class people, everybody. I kind of always had that ear, you know, where people would always whisper certain things in my ear to try to keep me on the right track or what have you. And they would give me like life lessons and stuff like that or what have you. So a lot of my writings and stuff, it actually comes from a lot of the stuff that I learned from that community, or what have you, a lot of stuff that the people actually taught me, or what have you. But of course, today, you know, today the producer of my company, From Nothing to Something Productions, I directed the Alto Adjustment and wrote the Alto Adjustment.
Okay.
That's Alton Nelson.
Now, I wanted to ask you, as you know, of course, the title of this show is There is Life After Layoff. So I wanted to ask you, have you ever been faced with a layoff in your journey, and if so, how did you handle that?
Fortunately, I have never been faced with a layoff.
Oh, you're wow, you're in the minority.
You know what? I guess it's funny. He's going to share with us a little bit later in his story, I hope, why he's never had to face a layoff.
Right. He's really been in the minority.
We can talk about it.
Okay, that was some interesting things I saw in his clip. Alton, let me ask you, being exposed to so many different type of people and the communities that you had an opportunity to be reared in, whether it be the minority community where things might not have looked so bright, but you still have people, like you said, who sowed a seed into you or try to give you an opportunity to stay on the right track. Tell us, how did you get into filmmaking? And after you tell us about that, tell us if there have been any challenges that you've had to face as an independent filmmaker.
Okay. I got into filmmaking. Actually, it wasn't something that I knew I wanted to do. I always had a thing where I wanted to help youth, and I'm the kind of person, I don't believe in quitting, so I do whatever it takes to get what I want. In business, I always get what I want or what have you. But yeah, I do. But anyways, I was going to schools and I was doing like speeches and stuff like that, and I was thinking like, wow, they don't have anything to really, you know, they have my voice here, and they would always be entertained by the stuff that I was saying, but I was like, they don't have anything to take home with them. Like, my voice can't really travel with them. Yeah,
okay.
So I thought about writing a book.
Okay.
And, I had actually started writing, and then I was like, the people that I'm trying to reach, they don't really read.
Oh, wow.
Okay, a sad comment, but I understand it.
But you know what? You got to meet the people where they are, which is very intuitive of you.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, because honestly and truly, I didn't read my first book until I was 19.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
wow.
Yeah, so.
Wow. That's powerful right there.
It is.
Wow.
And that's one of those things that is said in the community, that a lot of our young African-American males especially aren't exposed to reading. You know, picking up a magazine is totally different from actually reading. So, Alton, it's really ironic that you really attest to that. You know, not that you become the demonstrative person for everybody, but it's being real, you know, from
right.
where you came from.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's the only way I reach them, you know, is by being real. Because if
right.
I try it like I'm perfect, then they're going to kind of close the doors on me. So I have to expose, you know, anybody I'm dealing with. If I'm telling the story of myself or somebody else, I have to expose the dirt with them. Like, we can't
right.
try it like we're perfect because they'll close the door on us.
Right.
So we have to meet them on their level. But I was like, okay, they will watch films. I know that for sure.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, I started studying filmmaking, and I went to Seminar, California.
Mm-hmm.
About directing or what have you. And the interesting thing is, I believe that God, I know that God always gives us talents or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And my talents have always really been the same. I love to talk. I love to tell. Yeah, that's the truth. I love to talk. I love to tell stories.
Uh-huh.
And I have a great imagination.
Okay.
So if you put those three together,
right.
Well, you can just say the storytelling and the imagination, you have film.
There you go.
Right.
So mm-hmm. it was already inside of me. The only thing I had to do was learn how to structure it.
And pull
right.
it out. Mm-hmm.
Right. So
okay.
that's how I became a filmmaker.
Okay, good.
Oh,
good.
Any challenges that you can think of so far that you've experienced?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, you said that like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just finding the right people. That's, you know, a lot of these people that I've interacted with, they really didn't want to help the youth.
Oh,
you know, when
God.
I say I want to do something to help them, they really, like, they'll shy away. And then when I share my vision,
uh-huh.
they'll shy away even more. So
wow.
just finding the right people. Yeah, just finding the right people that really want to work with you and that's passionate about what they do as well.
That's key,
you know,
right there.
Right.
Right. Those were the biggest challenges. And of course, you know, learn the business aspects of it. But now I have people around me that's teaching me that stuff. So, you know,
that's good that you share that, because we always have talked about that here on There Is Life After Layoff, and the unity and sharing in the vision that we all, you know, we all share the same vision, because it's not going to work. When you don't have unity, you can forget it. It's going to fall
right.
apart. You all have to believe in the same thing and be passionate about the same thing. Otherwise, it will not work.
Right.
So, you know, that leads me to ask you this next question. We just mentioned in the intro your recent project, the Alto Adjustment. So can you share with us about that project? What does it entail? And how did you come to learn about the story of your subject in the movie Dane and Butler? And so can you share with us about that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Alto Adjustment is a film about Dane and Butler. Interesting thing is, he was raised in a two-parent household. That beats that stereotype about, you know, people
right.
committing crimes, being just raised in a single-parent household.
Right.
Or what happened.
Right, right.
Raised two-parent household. Great parents.
Yeah,
great parents. Or what have you. And, you know, he did work for his uncle or what have you. And he broke into a locker, stole the camera, and he found that he can get away with it or what have you. So that led to committing robberies.
Wow.
And the interesting thing is, he served 10 years. But today, well, at the time when we finished the film, he had 3 businesses, but today he has 4 businesses.
Oh, wow.
He feeds the hungry, and he's the author of a book.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Wow. That's unbelievable right there.
Right,
but how did you learn about his story? How did your paths cross?
Well, like I said, I like to talk a lot, and when I'm passionate about something, I talk about it all the time.
Okay.
So we had a mutual friend by the name of Chris, and I guess, you know, Damon talks a lot, too, and we talk about a lot of the same stuff. So Chris kept telling me, hey, man, I need to put y'all two together because y'all are constantly talking about, you know, mainly uplifting people, uplifting the have-nots.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Both of us mainly talk about kind of like the same stuff. So together we immediately bonded.
Okay.
And I was already writing another documentary that I wanted to do titled What's Real, but it was too broad. I couldn't figure out a way to narrow the focus. So, you know, I like to pray a lot. I'm one of those people, I pray a whole lot, and I pray for direction. A lot of time I get direction.
Right.
You know, I just ask God what direction I need to move in regarding the documentary, because the one that I'm doing seems to be too broad. And the thought came, why don't you ask Dana? Dana has an interesting story. Why don't you ask him if you could do a documentary on him? And when I went to him, he was like, hey, I'm with it. Let's go.
That's interesting. Wow.
Right.
That just goes to show you that, you know, when you share your passion and your vision, people will connect with that, and it just leads to one thing, just like how you reached out to Mel D, our executive producer, how one thing just led to another. So it's always important. Like the word says, we overcome by the sharing of our testimony. You always got to be willing to share that testimony with other people, because it's going to lead to another opportunity if it's God-led, you know?
Right.
Well, Elton, I have a question that's telling life. What's the most important life lesson or takeaway that you want people to view from your film? Or what do you want people to learn from your film?
Well, you know, people learn. It depends on the perspective you look at it from, because different people learn different things. From what I want people to learn is I want people to basically learn that you don't have to make the same mistake he made to basically get your life on track.
Okay.
You know, you've seen him do 10 years, and he tells you how it was his mindset, you learn how his mindset changed from being like a good kid. You learn about how he got in the streets, and you learn about basically his whole mentality when he was out there.
Right. Wow.
So if you listen to all this stuff, why would you want to try the same thing?
Right. Exactly. It didn't work for him, right?
No, it doesn't. And, you know, he talks about how he didn't have a fear of getting caught because he got away so many times. Like, you know, that's what they typically think when they're out there. Or what happened.
Right.
And then if you skip past all that, the next thing I want them to take from it is to, you know, figure out what they want to do with themselves and develop their talents. It took him to go to prison 5 years through the bid before he figured out what he wanted to do and how he wanted to develop his talent. Because we all have them. They find it right away. It's the things that you like to do that you do on an everyday basis that you don't even pay attention to. Those are your talents right there.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, I was about to say, and a parent, probably I would want them to take from it is to, you know, the last words of Dana on that film was to be proactive, not reactive as a parent. If you see your child doing something, correct it now. That's what I would want a parent, you know, take from
That's important.
Very. Do you realize you've almost become just like one of those people that you talked about who sowed that seed into you at a young age? You've taken yours to the film, and hopefully it reaches a broader audience, but now you're telling the same thing. Here's a lesson to learn. You don't have to repeat it. So I love it. You become part of that tribe, you know, that are pouring and sowing into our children today.
It takes a village.
Right.
That's what they say. And that's what we know. Right.
That's important. Wow. And you know what? When I watched the video, the trailer and the video that you shared with us, Althon, there was something that Danan said that really resonated with me when he talked about the part of when he got his first gun and that false sense of power that it gave him.
Yes.
You know, that to me was like, okay, yeah. See, it's and the word that he used, false sense, because it really does not make you powerful.
Right.
And that to me is going to really minister to a lot of young people out there and say, just because you have a gun does not make you all powerful.
Right.
You know. But then that leads me to my next question. What resonated with you the most about Danan's story? To me, it's a tragedy to triumph type of story. What was it about his story that really connected you to wanting to make a documentary about his journey?
Okay, yeah. Like I said, the first time, you know, it was an assignment from God. I knew that for sure, but what really registered with me is that you know, first of all, it was reality.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I like to tell stories that are real.
Yeah.
You know, because they get so much of the false stuff, like, you know, from, like, rappers and stuff. Like, that's fake. You know, anybody has to be crazy to believe most of the stuff they say. But anyway, that's a whole other topic. But it was real. Hey, it's the truth. But
it's like the not-so-real reality these days, right?
Right. Right. But, yeah, it was real. And plus, you know, to basically see someone, you know, make the mistakes he made, some deep mistakes. Well, he was he didn't do five and then serve five when he got out. He did a whole 10. So,
wow.
Yeah, to see somebody go through all of that and still basically put their life back together. And it wasn't easy. If you watch the documentary, you learn that he didn't just get out and just start businesses. He tells you some of the stuff that was happening when he tried to search for a job and stuff like that. He tells you clearly.
Right.
You know, it wasn't easy. And he tells you how he basically got into starting the business. But to see somebody basically pick, it's like having a small puzzle with 10,000 pieces on it and having to put it all back together.
Wow.
That's a lot of work. Yeah,
absolutely.
To see somebody do that definitely resonated with me. I was like, you know, we have to do this.
Oh, wow. That's good right there.
It is. And what I hear, the reality that's going to come out of this film is, you know, you have to put work in, but you have to make good choices and all that. But just piggybacking kind of sort of what Allie just said, that false sense of reality or power that he talked about, you also show through the film, and I think it's highlighted, he kept getting away with it. So he thought he was getting away with it.
Mm-hmm.
So every time he thought he was getting away with it, he did something more and more tragic or deeper or more of a risk each time. And I hope that what your audience hears and gets to witness is, especially speaking to young Black African Americans, because, I mean, we just experienced so many tragedies that, you know, have gone worldwide. Media provoked about how African American males being, you know, mishandled and handled in different ways, but it's also how we present ourselves. You know,
right.
If we raise these children or rear these children up to think that it's okay to be this type of way, and we talk about this, and then we talk about choices that our children are making. And when children get away with stuff and they think they can do it, and then you put a gun in their hand, you know, their reality is heightened to a whole other level. But again, it's that false reality.
Yes,
right.
So I was very excited to see that, and I can't wait to see, you know, the full film launch and see how, you know, responses come in for you.
Absolutely.
Oh,
you know
actually, we shared it at the juvenile. We did some screens at community centers, and I'm not sure if you all are going to ask that later or if I need to talk about it now.
No, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Okay.
We're going to have you share with us about the, you know, some screenings in the community and what have you. But at this time, I think what we're going to do, we're going to kind of pause to take a short station break. And then when we return, we're definitely going to continue our conversation. And I want to encourage our listeners, please take advantage of this opportunity to engage our guests in conversation tonight or simply ask a question. You can reach us by calling 347-324-5246. And make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. And I'm Allie, your host, and my guest co-host this evening is Rev T, and along with Mel D and our very special guest, filmmaker Altuan Nelson, you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, so please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God only brings you through.
Mel D, are you there? Okay, I think Mel D
Mel D is here.
Okay.
Thank you. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio Presents There Is Life After Layoff. Please be our special guest and join us on October 25th as we head to Philadelphia. Yes, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, here we come. We will be hosting our famous conference, Seek Me, Awakening the Purpose Within You. We will be at the Valley Forge Resort in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. Exhibitor tables, sponsorship, and tickets are still available. If you are in the Atlanta area and you do not want to miss this event, please join us as we travel to Philadelphia. We will be offering a weekend getaway travel package, which will include the conference. So please tune in to our website for more information by going to www.atlantaliferadio.com/Philadelphia. And now we return back to our program. Allie?
All right, we're back. If you're just joining us, welcome, and you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And I'm Allie, and along with my regular co-host, Doc, and our guest co-host, Rev T, we encourage you to join us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. And you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. Tonight we have a very special program, and we're joined by filmmaker Altuan Nelson, and we are enjoying our conversation with Mr. Nelson this evening. And so we're going to continue. Mel D, I wanted to ask you, do we have any callers who wanted to engage our guest this evening?
Not at this time.
Okay. So we're going to continue and just kind of pick up the conversation where we left off before the break. And Rev T, you made a really, really good point before the break about the false sense of power and about, you know, making choices and how people, our youth of today, think that they can get away with things. But the thing that resonated in my mind when you made that statement was the fact that who are they really getting away with it with? I mean, God
right.
is watching. He sees all, knows all, and evaluates all.
Right.
And
right.
by me making that statement, that has kept me in check in a lot of areas of my life. So really, who are they really, mm-hmm. You know, getting away with anything?
Right.
So I just kind of want to, yes.
Ladies, this is Mel D and Altuan. This is live radio. And we do have a
caller
who wants to speak. I hope All right. they come back. Yes, they are here. So hold on while I bring them on the air.
All right.
All right, caller, if your number ends in 6291, you are now on air.
Hi.
How
are you?
I recognize that voice.
And Mr. Nelson, how's everyone tonight?
Just fine, thank you.
Great, great. I've been listening, and Mr. Nelson, I had an opportunity to watch the trailer, and very awesome documentary. So, and I think it's very timely. A question that I have for you, Mr. Nelson, I wanted to know, what advice would you give to our young African-American men, especially with the recent tragedy in Missouri? So in regards to dealing with authority and police especially, what advice would you give to, I'll say young men in general, but definitely African-American, because I feel like they're definitely targeted at this moment.
When you're talking about dealing with the police?
Exactly.
Yeah, I've had my share of that. I'm pretty sure probably every African-American male in the lower class community has had our share of that, at least all of my friends that I know.
Okay.
The advice that I would give is just basically do as they say. That's what I did. Like, I had two incidents with police officers. One incident, I was leaving high school, and we used to have a lot of fights after school or what have you. And this guy, I was standing around chatting with some people, and for some reason he targeted me, and he told me to just go on about my business and keep walking, and if I stop walking, I'm going to jail. So I just did what he said. I just kept walking, and I basically just got on the train and went about my business. The next incident that I had with the police officer was this guy tried to say, you had a lot of incidents of people jumping the rail in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like the MARTA rail or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have the rail where you put the token in and then you go through it.
Right.
Today they got like little doors that you put it in. But I had a pocket full of tokens. And I put a token in and walked through. And this police officer, he came, and he was trying to tell me that I jumped the rail. And I pulled out my tokens. I was like, why would I jump the rail? And I have a pocket full of tokens. He told me to go back down there and put one in and come back through.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Right. And the incidents that I had with them, I just listened to what they said. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I would advise, you know, because, like, just think about it. Even if they're in the wrong, 9 times out of 10, if you go to court, you do something, let's say you rebel, you do something back. If they don't shoot you and they just take you to jail, 9 times out of 10, the judge is going to listen to them over you, especially if you're a young black African-American male.
Mm-hmm.
9 out of 10, the judge is going to listen to you. They're going to listen to that police officer over you, so it's best to just do as they say so you can get them. Most of them just want to exert power, so if you make them feel like they're in power and control, and you do as they say, then they'll leave you alone.
Mm, that's a sad statement, though, isn't it?
It's a very sad statement.
Oh, my God.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank
you, caller. No problem.
Thank you so much. I wanted to continue with our conversation tonight. This particular project happens to be a documentary. I wanted to ask you, do you aspire to make other types of films, you know, whether or not a feature length or short film or any other type of film, or are you specifically, you know, into documentaries?
No, I'm not in the box. I say, hey, that's the truth. That's where they're trying to put you at. But I know I've been writing for like 3 years. So I have short films that I've written. I have feature-length films that I've written, and I've written a couple of television shows. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I've been writing for like 3 years before I really came out with anything. Because
okay.
You know, I try to get things to the best of my ability. In fact, you all saw the documentary. You remember the book that he talked about named Shawty?
Mm-hmm.
I just read it last week, and I started writing the script this morning.
Are you kidding? Wow.
Wow, look at this.
Yeah,
wow.
But we also have another a TV show that we're shopping to a network. Can't really speak about it right now, but.
Right.
Yeah,
we wish you the best on that. Wow.
Yes.
And also, I have a show called the From Nothing to Something show, which is on E3 TV. E3 TV is on the Roku device. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Roku. It's like a black box. It's like a smaller scale of Netflix.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. Well, congratulations so far. You are really, really doing something out here, and I like it. You're taking a little bit, and you're making a lot out of it.
Exactly.
Right.
And Ladies and gentlemen, we have another caller.
Oh,
I'd like to
awesome.
Bring on air. Okay. Caller, if you're number 1008, you are now on the air.
Hello.
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 Hey, Antoine Nelson is my son.
Oh. Welcome.
And I am so proud of him.
Awesome. Thank you
and
for calling
in.
And
he speaks probably good.
Yes.
And he's been a smart child since he was little.
Yes, he's done
and
a good
I'm proud job. Of him.
But thank you. I know it means a lot that you called in to share that with us this evening.
Yes.
Thank you so yep. much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love him.
I love you too.
All right, baby.
Aww.
Oh, that's so sweet.
A mother's love and support goes a long way, huh?
It sure
oh,
does.
Oh, yeah, my family, they support me hands down without a question. My whole family.
I love it. Antoine, from an ethical
yes,
point of view, what do you feel is the greatest responsibility that the documentary filmmaker has between themselves and their subject? You know, basically
well,
just meaning... Well, you got it. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
That's
I get
okay.
excited sometimes.
That's okay.
I think you have to understand your subject.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
that's personally what I think. I think you have to have a connection with them, and you have to have an understanding of them as well as their story. You know, and you
yes.
have to understand the subject matter that you're really trying to tackle. That's the only way, because it's really not easy unless you're passionate about it. And even then, it's not going to be easy, but, you know, just to get the best work and the best result,
mm-hmm.
you have to be
mm-hmm.
passionate about the topic as well as the subject.
That's mm. good. And, you know, you spoke about it earlier when you said that when you're dealing with people and dealing with youth especially, you have to come correct. You have to keep it real because they will see through that.
Right.
And so that's the same thing, I think, with your work. You have to really be honest, and you have to be ethical and represent your subject and to the best of your ability because people will see through that. And all of this, I mean, all you got to do is turn on the TV now and see the not-so-real reality shows. A lot of that stuff, people really believe it's for real. Don't believe
no,
the hype.
It's definitely not reality. It's a lie.
Yeah, it is. And it's sad because people really follow that. I mean, it's really entertainment.
Right.
That's what it is. It's entertainment.
Everything
and
is business. That's
you got
all
that
is.
Right. They sensationalize everything, I think, just
right.
to keep get viewers and followers and what have you. And it's to the point where, you know, I there are very few reality shows that I would even turn on now because it just gets on my nerves.
right.
Wow.
Sure.
That is so
and from
funny.
And from just the, not to oppose the conversation, but just in dialogue, even the ones who are writing now, I wouldn't so much say they're not, you know, holding true to their ethical responsibilities because their goal is to, one, pursue and master and retain a certain audience. And
mm-hmm.
the persons who
right.
are, you know, in those roles, whether it's reality or that false reality that we see, they're portraying what they want us to see. So they
right.
they may be doing a very good job of it, but it's almost like, but it's not true. They pose it as a reality show, but did they get the job done? Because, you know,
true.
People are still tuning in to see it. You know, it becomes
and right. You're absolutely right.
And the thing about that is,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Now, I was about
yeah.
to say, the thing about that is we are all teachers.
Mm.
We're all teachers. Even
exactly.
kids are teachers. And I think that from an ethical standpoint, you are held responsible for what you teach because that's what
yes.
you're putting more of that into the world, whether
yes.
it's positive
right.
or negative. You're putting more of that into the world. So, you know, they're responsible for it. I don't know if they care, but you have to be really careful
right.
about what you teach people because you basically put that idea into the world and then it just spread
yep.
like a wildfire. You started
yep.
it.
Yep. You're right.
yes.
You're right. And that's
right.
what I was saying. You know, they are holding true to theirs, but they're going to be accountable at some time, at some point. you know, for what they're putting out there. It's just like you mentioned earlier, you know, the sensation that kids see with the rap artists and the lifestyles that they live and the rappers and the money and the videos, that's perpetuating something that's not actually true. You know, it's for
right.
a moment in time during that video, but you have these kids looking up to that like that's gospel, that's the word, that's really how it's going. And the same thing with these reality shows. We have families and children and adults in general, women, looking up to this is how it's done. And especially right here in Atlanta, they have so many, it's almost despicable. You know, so many hype shows with these, you know, Fortune 500 lifestyles. But
mm-hmm.
yet it still is like, is that really true? Because did it really do anything for Atlanta besides, you know, just bring us down?
Right.
Because it's a stereotype that they're holding on to.
Exactly.
Right.
You're absolutely right on that, Rev T. Woof.
Ladies,
you.
This is Mel D. I kind of like the conversation where it's going right now. And so, Alton, I wanted to ask you a question, and I was so touched that your mother called in. Who inspired you? I mean, someone, whether it was a family member or just someone who kind of was there for you, who was your inspiration?
Actually, my kids.
Mm.
Because I was kind of lost before my daughter was born.
Oh, wow.
You know, my kids definitely inspired me. And also, I think God put me in a leadership position. Like, even when I was young, like 14, 15, people used to always say, man, you're just different. Even young ladies I used to talk to, you're different. You're not like everybody else. And I could never understand what they were saying. But, yeah, I always got that.
Wow.
And the thing is, when I got older, I realized that you're supposed to be leading people. So you're supposed to understand. Them, but you're in a leadership position.
Wow.
So people not going to look at you as the same. It's like people hold me to a higher standard than they hold some other people or what have you. So just getting a different eye, that inspires me too. Like one of my life goals is to basically get as many youth as I can on the track to discovering their talents.
Right.
And then they'll take it from there. If they have belief in themselves, they'll take it from there.
Right. That's good right there, because you know what you did was you heard the plan that God had for your life, because a lot of people don't hear the plan or follow the plan or the purpose that God laid before them, and you were able to see it and hear it. And, you know, along the way, he put people in your path to kind of say, they kind of planted the seed, say, you got something in you. And it just kind of started growing, growing, growing. Then after you said, you know, your daughter was born, then that kind of just really germinated into a full-blown plant. And that vision came out. So, you know, and I think we all have that journey, but it's just up to us to really pay attention to that voice and hear it and connect to it. So, you know, I wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of share with our listeners how they can purchase a copy of the Alto Adjustment, and if you could share with us how we can contact you, and if you have any information about local screenings and what have you, we would love for you to share it with that before we close out, you know, the show tonight.
Okay. Anybody that's interested in purchasing a copy, it can be done so at our website is fn2sproductions.com. Again, that's fn2sproductions.com. You can see the trailer there, the testimony of there, and all of that good stuff. And as far as the screenings, we've done like three or four of them at the juvenile. We've done them at community centers, and we've done them at nonprofit organizations as well. We've got nothing but good feedback. And we do, afterwards, we conduct the Q&A where Dana actually takes questions and I take questions or what have you regarding the actual film. That information can be found on the website as well, too. What we try to do is we try to take like a $50 non-refundable deposit to make sure people that are serious, make sure people are serious about actually booking or what have you. And then the ticket prices at the door is $5 for adults and $3 for anybody that's under 18. And 501c3 nonprofit, they get 10% or whatever we earn back at the door, like a fundraising effort or what have you.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Okay, that's great.
Oh, yeah, try to give back. And
exactly.
That information, it can be found on our website, all the information. And if you're interested in booking the screening, have a booking agent. Miss Lauren Penner, and her email is lunchmylyrics@gmail.com.
Lunchmylyrics@gmail.com.
All the information is on the website. Yeah.
Okay.
And as far as myself, you're talking about like social media information.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually Google my name.
Mm-hmm.
I have a unique name. My name is spelled ALCSTOM UAWN, Nelson, NELSON, and all of my social media come up. I'm on Facebook, Altwan Nelson. I'm on Instagram, it's Altwan_Speedy_Nelson. Speedy was my nickname coming up in my neighborhood.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Speedy.
Okay. And I'm on Twitter, it's Altwan1, and you can talk. I talk back. Like I say, I like to talk. So if you ask me a question or what have you, then I will respond back. In fact, I've gotten you inboxing me on Facebook, and we just have conversations. You know, some of them want to quit. I have a video on YouTube about youth giving up and trying to, you know, give them some inspiration or what have you. And some of those guys actually reached out. They actually reached out, and we started having conversations just about not giving up and trying to keep them on
great.
The right track. Like, keep in contact with them and just try to make sure they're on the right path.
Oh, that's
or what happened.
Oh,
and you can
great.
Look. You actually see some of the comments on YouTube. My YouTube page is Altwan1. You can look at some of the comments where some of these youth are actually inspired by some of the videos that were posted on there.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so
that's
much.
Great. Yeah.
We have really enjoyed having you here, and we are definitely looking forward to any future projects that you have. We definitely applaud you, first of all, for having the courage to step out on faith and make these kinds of films, because they are definitely needed for this generation, a generation that seems to be getting lost along the way and discouraged.
Right.
So we thank you for, you know, like I said, fulfilling what I feel, you know, is the plan and purpose that God has had for your life. So you are a friend of the show. We consider you a friend here, and so you're welcome back anytime. Any future projects that you want to share with our listeners, you are more than happy to share it on our show. So thank you for joining us this evening, and we loved it.
Thank you for having
me.
I really appreciate the platform. Definitely appreciate it. More than appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much. So, you know what, Rev T, guess what time it is? It's time for you
it's
to
time.
Take us to Scripture.
Okay, I can do it. I promise the listeners, every week I promise, I always say, I do have another Scripture. I really do. But I always put this one out there. So this might be the foundation for our show that's coming up next. But first of all, let me just go to Jeremiah 29:11.
Mm-hmm.
And Allie almost just took the words right out of my mouth. But just to hear his testimony and hear his story and to recognize that God is in control.
Yes.
Because the word tells us that I know the plans I have for you. And he declared this, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. This young man's testimony was just that. You know, he looked at how, you know, he even talked about his gifts, and we know we have spiritual gifts that are given from God, you know, based on his grace to each of us. You know, you can find that in Romans 12, verse 4 through 6, and Corinthians and Ephesians has, you know, scripture reference about our spiritual gifts. But what I want to leave our listeners with tonight is to make a commitment, to make a stand with something that's important enough that you will live by. It's a commitment that you're going to make. So I want to take our scripture from Romans 12, 1 through 2, and I'll take the second part of it. And this is what I want to leave with our listeners, that this is your true and profitable worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives. This young man once again talked about coming from a divided community, lower class, middle class. He survived them both. And the young man's story that he's able to portray tells us about choices and decision-making. But guess what? God had a plan for this young man, plans to prosper him and bless him. And today he's living and walking in the manifestation of what God has for him. So this evening, listeners, make a commitment to something. Stand for God, because he'll never let you fall. You may go through, but he'll always pick you up.
Mm. Wow. And you know what? I wanted to make a point, Rev T, because what I heard throughout tonight and what resonated in my spirit is that the journey oftentimes may be rough, but it's through that journey that God is teaching us and growing us up. So just because you may be in a tragic situation or it may seem dim and dark at that point in time in your life,
right,
don't give up. Don't give up, because there's always a light at the end of the tunnel, because God is molding you and shaping
yes.
you into what he wants you to be. So
right.
don't, you just got to see it out to the end. Just like, you know, you may be wandering right now, but you're going to get to where he wants you to go. And when God, if he brings you to it, he'll get you through
he'll
it.
Bring you through it. That's so true.
And so,
and
you know.
And for the testimony.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, nothing's perfect. Nobody's life is perfect. So, you know, just stand tall right now and don't give up. And it's going to pan itself out. God has he always has a plan, and he knows the plan.
Mm-hmm.
You may not see it, but he's got a plan for your life. So we, you know, want to encourage our youth to don't give up. And there's
no,
a lot going on in the media now with, you know, the situation that just, you know, took place. And, you know, it's a sad statement of where we are in society. But you know what? This got to be a purpose for this. We don't know it now.
Right.
We don't see it now. But there is a purpose. And so we just got to stand on. Yes, always.
Yes.
Just believe
mm-hmm.
that God is going to take this somewhere. And we're going to all learn something from this. And so, but... You know, I thank you for joining me tonight, Rev T. This is a great show. I loved it. And, you know, I wish all the best to our filmmaker, our young filmmaker. I believe that he has a bright future as long as he stays true to himself, and I believe he will, because you
yes.
can just hear the passion and what he's doing.
Yes, it exudes through his whole conversation.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So I wanted to say thank you for joining me tonight, and thank you for all of our callers who called in. And, as we close out this segment, on behalf of There's Life After Layoff, the entire radio team, we sincerely say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey. We do not take it for granted that you've chosen to spend this time with us each and every week, and I pray that you will continue to tune in. And until next week, on behalf of Doc Mel D, Rev T, and myself and the entire team, we thank you for joining us, and we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life, and know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you, and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself,
I'm not giving up.
No,
I'm not giving
in you, Lord, I have my faith. When your breakthrough will begin, I have ever known has come from you alone.